Herzlich willkommen im Hörbuch- und Podcaststudio Wortwelten Berlin zu meinem Podcast Yara trifft. Ich bin Hörbuchsprecherin, Regisseurin, Studiobetreiberin und Mama. In meinem Podcast dreht sich alles um das Leben im Allgemeinen und Hörbücher im Besonderen. In dieser Folge treffe ich die US-amerikanische Bestseller-Autorin Elise Cover und spreche mit ihr über ihren neuesten Fantasy-Roman Arcana Academy.
Where do you live in the United States?
So I live in the southeast of the United States. I live in Florida. And specifically, I live in Tampa Bay in Florida, which is like the middle of the state on the west coast. I'm right by the beach, which this time of year, I'm always worried about hurricanes. I'm only about 10 minutes from the beach, which is a beautiful place to live.
You're going to be in Germany this year, won't you?
Yes, I'll be at the Frankfurt Book Fair. I don't know if that has been officially announced, but I think my publisher said it's okay if I kind of say it. The final schedule is not public yet, but I will be there at the Frankfurt Book Fair again. But I won't, it's just for the fair. I'm not going to be doing like a tour or anything this time.
Okay, fantastic. So congratulations to your masterpiece, Arcana Academy.
Thank you.
I'm right in the middle of it. I'm so proud and happy to be the audiobook narrator of your books. I was already reading Air Awoken, Firefawn, Earth Ending, Water's War, and the new series Married into Magic. And now the masterpiece, Arcana Academy. I would love to talk about this new book. May I ask you, if you were a tarot card yourself, which one would you be?
This is so hard because I actually do know how to read tarot. So like I know all of the meanings of the cards and whatnot, or at least my interpretation of them. And so it's so hard to be like, I want to pick like a really good card for myself. I would love to, if I could, I would love to be the Queen of Wands. I think that's the card that I would aspire the most to. I don't think I always achieve that, but that is probably what I would pick if I could pick one.
Very nice. If the Arcana Academy had an official motto, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe something like sacrifice is power, something like that.
The Fire Festival, it requires the sacrifice of a future. Do you see this as a metaphor?
Yeah, I am a millennial who's lived in the USA for the majority of my life. And, you know, I say that just in the context of, I have a lot of friends who, when they went to college, they took out these really big loans. Both, I think, from a perspective of they didn't understand how it was going to impact them and their future longer term. They didn't fully get a good explanation of how loans work, to be quite honest, at 17, 18 when they took these loans. And then, you know, they had them, but they took them a little bit with the sort of understanding or perceived promise that they would then get these degrees and go out into the world and they would get well-paying jobs because they had these degrees. And so even if the loan was a big deal, you know, they would get a good job and it would be okay in the end. And I've had conversations with people, and it is a little morbid, and I hate to bring down the vibe, but it's, you know, I've had conversations with people where they're like, you know, my retirement plan is death, or I am never paying off these loans in my entire life. There's just no way that I could do it. And, you know, seeing how that choice that they made to receive an education with the promise of benefits in the future that may or may not have panned out, because even the ones who did get a job, it might not have been a good enough job for what the loan had become by that point. It was just something that I wanted to seed into this academy, that idea, and kind of like sacrifice is power, but the idea that to just get into it, you have to sacrifice something of yourself and of your future. And maybe it's a bit heavy-handed, or inelegant, but that was kind of the inspiration for that component of it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we are really lucky here in Germany that it's paid, that the students can really choose and be free to choose. The universities are free, so.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's a fabulous system, and I wish more stuff like that existed in the U.S. And, you know, just for an abundance of clarity, I don't ever want to come off as saying, like, college is the only path or anything like that. It's just what I saw of so many people in their lived experience.
Yeah, actually, my daughter is already studying, and she's in another town, and yeah, it's possible for us, yes.
Yeah.
So back to your book, which element would you personally love to control?
I would love to control fire because it's flashy and cool, but also because I joke that I'm a lizard person, like I'm cold-blooded, and so I get cold so easily. And I like the idea that if I could control fire, I could make myself warm whenever I wanted to.
Great. Was there ever a chapter you wrote but cut out in the Arcana Academy?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for Arcana Academy, I didn't really, like, it wasn't like I wrote the chapter and then I cut it out completely and it no longer existed. I don't think there are many, if any, chapters that happened with, like, I'm struggling to think of, but there are a lot of chapters that changed a lot from my original first draft. So, for example, in the original, like, first two or three drafts, there was another character who was effectively like Clara's best friend. So in the book, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but in the book, Clara has a sister and there's a mystery surrounding her sister and she's trying to find her sister. And that was always there, but there was also this sort of best friend character. And in talking with my editors and reviewing the book, we really just decided that those two characters were sort of too much. They were serving the same emotional and narrative function for Clara. And so we cut the best friend character and we sort of fused her arc with Clara's sister. And so I think it's like, you know, a lot of the scenes that were originally centered around this best friend character still ended up being there, but they changed a lot because they were then centered around Clara's sister and what that character arc became. I think the only chapters that I like outright cut from the book was, the book was actually originally about 15,000 words longer, which is crazy because it's already a big book. And I was like, I really kept going over the ending many times, and I decided that those 15,000 words were better as the beginning for book two. So I cut those chapters, but they will come back and you will see them in book two.
Fantastic. Hey, when do you write? You have a 1.5 year old little kid.
So I am very lucky that I have an amazing partner and I have an amazing social network in my friends, and I have some family who lives in the area, and I am also really blessed that I'm in a financial position that I can afford some childcare as well, in addition to those things. So I would love to say like, oh, I just make it work, but I do, but I'm able to make it work because I have that support structure around me. So I keep what I would say is a normal, like, 9-to-5 type job with my writing most days of the week, not every day because there's, you know, weird schedules when you have a little kid, but most days of the week I'm able to do that, but I'm only able to do that because of the structure that's around me that I'm very blessed and very privileged to have.
Yes. Yes. I also had this opportunity to work when our first daughter was born because of this really great partner. We're getting there.
Well, and I think communication is so important too, because that was one thing that my partner and I had a lot of conversations about before we had a kid, where I was like, you know, I love my career and of course I'm going to love my child and I'm going to want to be around my child. But I know that I'm going to be a better person and therefore a better parent if I can keep writing and keep working. And if we do this, if we have a kid, we need to figure out like kind of how you, my partner, can keep doing what you want to do and he can have his career and how I can keep doing what I want to do, but we can also integrate this child kind of into our lives. So I would say to anyone who is a working professional who loves what they're doing and wants to keep doing it, because there's also nothing wrong with deciding to be a full-time mom or parent or anything like that. But if you want to keep doing what you're doing, talk to your partner, have those hard conversations before you get pregnant.
Yes. Yes. This is so true. Your book is part of a dark academia genre. And what fascinates you most about this genre?
I love the atmosphere of dark academia. I think that there's just something that feels so magical in a very like mysterious way about cloistered hallways and dusty classrooms. My mother was a teacher and a professor, and I taught for a little bit as a second grade teacher. And so I have always grown up in schools and around academia. And so dark academia, I feel like, is just it's familiar to me, but it's also fantastical. And I love that about it on a personal level.
If Akarna Academy were turned into a Netflix series tomorrow, which actors would you dream cast for Clara and Kalis?
I will say that I am the worst at actors and actresses. I don't watch a ton of like movies or TV shows. And I also like, I have the inability to imagine a person in a role. So like I'll see a movie and they'll say, you know, this person was cast as this character. And I'm like, I don't see it. I don't get it. And then I see the movie and when they're in their makeup and hair and costume and they're fully acting the character and the cinema is there. And I'm like, oh, they're perfect for this role. Mm-hmm. So I really think that if any of my books were ever made into movies, I would really rely on the casting directors and the directors for their vision, because I couldn't trust myself. That being said, I will say that I am a huge fan of animation, and I would also be very happy if my series was made into an animation. And if that were to happen, I really love what some of the animation studios have been doing, like the studio that's behind Castlevania on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think that their art style is gorgeous. I think that their animation is gorgeous, and I would love to see Arcana Academy get a Castlevania-like treatment if it were to go animation instead of live action.
I already saw on Instagram that you have made a soundtrack for Arcana Academy.
Yes, that is on Spotify. I never know how music licensing works from country to country, but it is uploaded onto the... I do have my own personal Spotify that I have other playlists for, like for Arawoken or the Married Into Magic books. I do have some of those on my personal Elise Kova Spotify. I think the Arcana Academy is on the US Penguin Random House's account, but I think that you should still be able to access it even in Germany. I just don't know if some of the songs you can't license, but I love writing to music and planning and daydreaming and thinking of the characters and all of that. And so whenever I'm working on a book, I'm always working on a playlist with it.
Fantasy often creates new rules for language. Do you think the genre has a special responsibility to push how we think about identity and pronouns, perhaps?
I mean, I think that one of the things that draws me to fantasy is that it is another world, that you get to make up your own rules. And I think to... and this might be a sort of roundabout way to answer your question, but I think it extends more than beyond like pronouns and whatnot, but in the sense of you get to choose what is in that world and what is not in that world. So, you know, for example, I really like to write books where being queer is not, there is no necessarily prejudice baked in against that. Not to say that there aren't bigots in the world, because unfortunately bigots exist and sometimes they get included even in fantasy worlds. But I think that, you know, you get to say, hey, in this world, by virtue of the fact if you are gay or you are queer or you are trans, you know, there isn't a societal stigma surrounding that. Or you can do that with religion, or you can do that with race. And I think that is one of the most beautiful elements of the escapism that fantasy can offer readers. And I think it's, in some ways, it can be a lens onto our world of, you know, what could things look like if we weren't mired in some of these discussions about people's identities? What would we focus on? And what could we accomplish if we weren't so entrenched in, you know, worrying about what other people were doing when they aren't harming anyone kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, you have the pronoun they. We don't have it in Germany. We really have to search for something or create something new. So this is really interesting in Arcana Academy, how to translate it into German.
And I think it's so cool to see in that way, like other languages translate and how they adapt it. Because I know Spanish had a very kind of similar struggle, because Spanish is a very gendered language. And so, you know, how do you handle the nouns and the verbs surrounding a non-binary individual, just as one example. And I think it is a beautiful thing, because I studied Latin in high school. I studied one of the very fascinating but not helpful languages in modern day. But, you know, the thing about that is I look at Latin and having studied it, and it's a dead language. It is not spoken. It is not evolving. And so in a way, that gave me such an appreciation for living languages, in that they will evolve. They can evolve. They should evolve as we, as people, evolve. And I think that that is something to be, yes, discussed, but also embraced, because it means we're moving forward and we're still existing. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's always changing. It's a big discussion at the moment.
It is in English too. Like I don't think there's a set style guide yet, but an example in English is, you know, when you say he goes to the store, you say they go to the store, when you're using they as like a plural for multiple people. But if you're using they for an individual person, so a singular they, do you say they goes to the store, which is unnatural, quote unquote, for an English speaker, because it's weird to hear that together, but you're talking about a singular where you're using goes in the same conjugation as if you would use he or she. But, or do you say they go to the store, like you're using it as a plural, even if you're not, because it sounds more natural. And it's like, those are the conversations that I've had with editors, and I know that other authors are having with editors, and everyone's trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. And we'll keep having conversations, and we'll figure it out, and we'll all evolve, and that's a good thing.
Is it translated in Spanish also already?
It is coming out in November in Spanish. So it is in translation. I think the translation has been finalized, because we're getting close to the release date.
Wow.
But yeah, it has been translated.
In how many languages is it translated already?
Oh gosh, quite a few. I don't know if it's out in all of the languages yet. And I hope I don't say something I'm not supposed to. And if I do, I'm sorry to publishers. But I know for sure it's coming out, and I think it's announced, obviously German, Spanish, Italian, French. It's out in Dutch.
Wow.
I think a couple other languages. I think Polish as well. There's a couple other languages too.
It is a New York Times bestseller.
Yes, it hit number 5 on the New York Times, and it actually hit in the United Kingdom, it hit number 1 on their Sunday Times. So very, very exciting.
Congratulations. See you
Thank
again.
You.
So we hope the best for the German.
Yes. Yeah. I hope yeah. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but fingers crossed for Spiegel.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, yes. Was it good? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Spiegel bestseller, of course. How long did it take you to write this book? Was it a year of work, or 2 or 3 years of work?
So Arcana Academy took about, I started kind of working on it in late 2022. I sold it to publishers in the first half of 2023. So I really have been working, it took about a year and a half, I would say, because the book is finished about a year before publication in the English mm-hmm. version. But I think that's one of the really interesting things about foreign markets is that as an author who has published over 30 books in English, I have this really big backlist. And so many times a publisher will pick up a book, and if it does well and readers enjoy it, they want more. And so then they start going to my backlist. So it's very interesting to see kind of what books are published when in what markets, mm-hmm. Because, you know, using the Spanish market again as a comparison for the German market, Erewoken was my first introduction to the German market. And that was my debut. So that was my first introduction in the English market as well, 10 years ago. But it was also 10 years ago that it happened. So even when it was picked up in Germany, you know, it was already kind of, I don't want to say old, but it had been out for a while.
It's so interesting. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, whereas the Spanish market, they published Married to Magic first, and then they published the Erewoken series in Spanish. And it's just really interesting to kind of see all of the different markets of when they pick up my books and what books they pick up, because very rarely, I would say, do you have kind of these – For the big titles and new titles, you might get sort of these very close or almost simultaneous releases. But for a lot of the books, the book maybe has been out for a while, and you know, it's just now coming over into the market. But that's very exciting to get to meet new readers in that yes. way.
Elise, you have something still you want to present to the German listeners?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Number one, always number one, first and foremost, is thank you for your support. I have been blown away by the love of German readers, and I'm so sorry that I don't speak German. I would love to, because I would love to communicate in your language to tell you just how much I appreciate each and every one of you. But I, you know, I lack the words in German, so I'll just have to say that I see you all, and I can't respond to every one of you, but I appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy Arcana Academy if you pick it up. Thank you for doing such an amazing job on my books and bringing them to life in audio. I appreciate that, and I hope that I get to keep telling stories that all of you will enjoy. That is my goal. The best people to follow for updates about my books in German are honestly the publishers, Carlson and Cove, as well as individuals like you who are working on the books. Not me. And I only say that because I will sometimes, you know, every publisher moves at their own pace and things have to change last minute. And sometimes I don't always get the information from where I'm at in the USA, which is fine. I'm not mad at any publisher. That's just how the industry works. But please follow the publishers if you want to know like when the next book is coming out or if a release date has changed. They are the ones to trust with the information, not me.
Okay, good to know. Greetings from Berlin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Das war Hörbuchsprecherin Yara trifft die US-amerikanische Bestseller-Autorin Elise Kova. Mein Dank geht an Wortwelten Berlin für die Podcast-Produktion, an Meyers Nachtcafé für die wunderbare Musik und natürlich an euch fürs Zuhören. Wenn euch die Folge gefallen hat, schenkt mir gerne ein Like, schreibt eure Wünsche in die Kommentare und teilt den Podcast auf euren Social-Media-Kanälen. Ich sende euch herzliche Grüße aus Berlin und vergesst nicht, tief ein- und ausatmen.